Paul Bunyan and Babe the Blue Ox, retold by Robert D. Sanssouci, illustrated by Andrew Glass, from Larger Than Life, The Adventures of American Legendary Heroes. Paul Bunyan, the greatest logger of all time, the giant who pretty much invented the lumber industry, was born and raised in Maine. He had logged off the better part of that state before he turned 20. After that, he did some work in Canada, before he turned up in Michigan. He became boss of a camp on the Big Onion River, where he would cut down so much timber in a day that 300 mule drivers would have to work day and night to haul his logs to the river. He headed a camp full of mighty men, including French Canadians, Swedes, Irishmen, Scots, and any other logger who could give a good account of himself. But his truest companion was Babe the Blue Ox. There are different stories of how the two met. One story is that Paul found Babe during the winter of the blue snow. On that special morning, Paul woke just before dawn, broke up the ice on a little lake nearby, and washed his face, parted his hair with a hand axe, and combed his beard with a cross-cut saw. Then he went out looking for a stand of trees to cut down, walking through the blue snow that filled the woods. Suddenly, he heard bellowing from the direction of the frozen river. There he discovered a young ox, already bigger than a full-grown steer, splashing in the water where the ice had given way under it.
"Hold on!"
cried the soft-hearted logger. Kneeling down on the snowy bank, he fished out the soggy calf. The poor thing had been white when he had fallen in, but had turned bright blue from the cold before Paul pulled him out of the icy river. Paul carried the creature back to camp through a blue blizzard, saying,
"There, there, poor little baby."
When they reached Big Onion Camp, Paul built a barn for the ox he had already begun to call Babe. Then he searched the mountains around for moose moss to make soup for the calf. As it turned out, when Babe was spoon-fed love and soup, he grew so fast that the next morning, Paul found the barn he had built sitting on the ox's back. Then Paul put his hands on his hips and said with a smile,
"You're sure gonna be something to reckon with."
Then he scratched at his beard thoughtfully and added,
"You have so much power. It shouldn't be wasted. When you're growing up, I'll find you some useful work."
Babe made a soft chuckling sound, as if to say, "That's fine with me." Paul kept on feeding Babe, and pretty soon the animal was up to full size, measuring 42 axe handles between the eyes. An ordinary person standing at Babe's head or tail would have to use a telescope to see what was happening at the other end. Some people say that Paul dug the Great Lakes so that Babe would always have fresh water. A lot of the smaller lakes in Wisconsin and Minnesota, they add, are simply Babe's hoof prints filled with water. Babe's shoes were made by the blacksmith Ole Olsen, who sank to his knees in solid rock the first time he tried to carry one. At first, there was a lot of grumbling because Paul put part of his crew to work bringing in enough hay to feed Babe. "That critter's a waste of hay and time," some men said. The matter was settled by Johnny Inkslinger, Paul's bookkeeper. He used a special fountain pen that was 18 feet long and connected by a 3-foot hose to 38 barrels of ink on the shelf over his desk. Always looking for a way to save a penny, Johnny once saved 9 barrels of ink over a winter by not crossing his T's or dotting his I's. He pointed out, "Babe really saves us money. He can haul the lumber in one trip that we needed 300 mule drivers for. Thanks to him, we make more money. That means your paychecks are bigger." This fact, if not the milk of human kindness, quickly made the blue ox popular with the loggers. Babe, who could haul anything, was a great worker who could drag 640 acres of timberland to the river at one time, all in one piece. There, Paul's crew chopped down the trees. Then the blue ox hauled the cleared land back into place. Paul would also use the blue ox in plenty of other ways. Once, when one of Paul's men sent the wrong lumber down the Mississippi to New Orleans, Paul was faced with the problem of getting the lumber back upstream. What would have seemed impossible to anyone else just needed a little thinking on Paul's part. He simply fed Babe an extra big salt ration, then led him to the Mississippi to drink. Babe was so thirsty, he drained the river dry, sucking the water upstream so that the logs came back faster than they had gone down. Babe was a fine pet. When he was happy, he would chortle and roll his big blue eyes and stick out his tongue to lick Paul behind the ear or on the back of the neck. This would always send the giant logger into roars of laughter that made folks miles away think thunder was rolling down the mountains. But Babe loved to play jokes on Paul's crew, and this could make the men angry. He would sometimes go to the lake from which the men got water and drink it dry in a single swallow. Then the men would have to go thirsty and dirty until the lake filled up again. Once he lay down in the river and dammed it up, not moving until Paul drew him away with a sandwich made of two giant flapjacks with a filling of clover hay. But even with all of his joking, Babe helped Paul to keep the money rolling in. Paul added more and more men to his crew, building bunkhouses so long that it took 3 days to walk from one end to the other. To keep his men well fed and happy, Paul hired the best camp cooks around, including Hot Biscuit Slim, Joe Muffington, Sourdough Sam, Pea Soup Shorty, and Cream Puff Fatty, who made desserts. At Round River Camp, Paul built a cooking stove so big that it took 300 cooks standing shoulder to shoulder to keep it going, and a special crew just to supply firewood. When it was time to make flapjacks, a griddle would be lowered onto the stove, and this was greased by the kitchen workers skating along with bacon slabs tied to their feet. Meals were served by men on roller skates, who raced up and down the long tables Paul had built. When they were ready to move on to the next camp in North Dakota, Paul got the bright idea of tying all the camp buildings together, with the cookhouse in the lead and having Babe haul the camp to Red River. When he yelled,
"Jay! Haul! Yay!"
Babe pulled the camp over mountains and plains, while the loggers leaned out the cabin windows, waving to anyone they happened to see. Though, for the most part, only the wild creatures of the woods saw them pass. One winter, Paul logged off North Dakota with the 7 axemen, his finest lumberjacks. Stories about the height and weight of the 7 axemen are different, but people say that they used 4-foot logs as toothpicks. When they got working along with Paul, their axes often flew so fast they sometimes came close to setting fire to the forests. In the Dakotas, they all got carried away and logged off the whole of the state until there wasn't much left but bushes. Looking around and feeling a little bad, Paul said,
"I think maybe we should have stopped a while back."
Sitting on a big stump, Babe beside him, Paul looked out over the sorry wasteland he had helped make. To Babe, he said,
"I won't let this happen again. It isn't good for the land. And there's nothing left for an honest logger to make a living from."
True to his spirit of making the best of the worst, Paul got up, took a big hammer, and pounded down the stumps into the ground. He turned the Dakotas into smooth, rolling plains that became fine farmland. But Paul was never able to cross the Dakotas without thinking of the great forests that had disappeared under his axe. When Paul and his men returned to the North Woods, they found that pine trees, loggers, and a certain blue ox were not the only things that came big-sized there. They were attacked by giant mosquitoes that had to be fought off with pikes and axes. When they tried to escape into a cabin, these monsters would tear off the roof or chew through the log walls. Paul decided to fight fire with fire. So he sent Sourdough Sam back to Maine for some of the giant bees Paul remembered from his boyhood. Sourdough had to bring the insects back on foot with their wings tied because they could not be controlled if they were allowed to fly. He collected their stingers, gave them boots, and marched them two by two to Paul's camp. But when Paul let the bees go, thinking they would chase away the mosquitoes, he found he had planned wrong. The bees and mosquitoes intermarried, producing offspring with stingers in front and behind, and they got Paul's men coming and going. Paul got rid of them by sending ships full of sugar and molasses out to the middle of Lake Superior. The insects, who had a bee-like hunger for sweets, swarmed over the ships, eating so much sugar they could not fly, and they drowned trying to get back to shore. The following year, Paul decided to try his luck among the tall trees of Oregon and Washington on the Pacific coast. Since both he and the blue ox were getting a little on in years, Paul bought several thousand oxen to help Babe with the hauling. This worked out fine for several weeks until tragedy struck. On the fateful day, one of Paul's crew tied all the oxen together with Babe in the lead to haul lumber to the ocean. All went fine until they reached a deep valley. Babe, marching along in front, started up the far side of the valley before the rest of the team had finished coming down. As a result, all the normal-sized oxen were quickly and fatally strung across the valley like laundry drying on a clothesline. By the time Paul discovered what had happened, there was not much to do but tell the men back at camp that there would be plenty of beef for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. After that, Babe continued to do the hauling alone, but Paul could see the blue ox was slowing down a bit. And, to tell the truth, he felt himself slowing down some. To Babe, he said,
"All these logging trucks and chainsaws and sawmills full of fancy gadgets are making me feel a little useless, even if I invented half the stuff myself."
Babe made a soft sound as if to say, "I agree." Not long after, they took themselves up to Alaska, where they enjoyed some old-fashioned logging. When they had had their fill of the Arctic, they came back. In a deep woods, in Oregon or Minnesota or Maine, depending on who tells the story, Paul built a cabin for himself and a barn for Babe. There he keeps two big iron kettles bubbling all the time, one full of pea soup for himself and one full of moose moss soup for Babe. In the evenings, Paul sits on his porch and Babe rests nearby, and they listen to the trees growing, which is a joy they had never shared before. And that green, growing power fills them so that they know they will be around as long as a single tree endures.